How are we doing? Good, awesome. Hey, let's make some noise for those people who are joining us online. Can we do that? Hey, guys, welcome. We love you guys. In fact, we love the fact that you have your hosts this morning, Caleb and his team. Rich is there as well. So glad you're joining us. If you're in the room, excited. If you're a first-time guest, we are thrilled to have you. People in the balcony, we love you guys as well. Let me just tell you something. We are pumped about Easter weekend. Let me tell you, Easter weekend is it's gonna be bananas, people. Bananas. So here's the deal. We're gonna go to two communities, two campuses on Easter Sunday. Good Friday is on Metro campus. Here's the big deal. I want you to do me a solid. You know what that means? Yes. Anybody? It's a solid. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, here's the deal. I want you to invite the world. Okay, I've told this before. Easter weekend is the one weekend even Satan comes to church. He just does. Okay? So there's hope for your friends. There's hope for your family and your mom. But anyways, but definitely invite. Here's the deal. Invite about five people because statistically, at least one of them will come. Okay? But we'd really love, if you're wondering, how can I be a part? This is how you are a part of us. You invite the world. We need to spread the word, the world, and something else that's with the W. But we need to do that. So, okay, that's my commercial. Done? All right, awesome. Well, hey, if you are a guest here, here's the deal. We've been in a conversation called What Unites Us. And it's a conversation about the four major religions. I talked about Christianity last week. And this week, I'm talking about Islam. And so I was actually a Muslim. I grew up in Islam. And I actually wrote a book called Ex-Muslim. So I'm a pro, people. I'm an expert at this, all right? My wife actually told me to promote the book, and I was like, I don't want to. We don't have it here. If you want it, you have to buy it on Amazon. It's cheaper, and they're nicer. But hey, get the book if you want to. This morning, I'm not going to be able to cover everything about Islam and my story and all that. So I'm going to hopefully just try to get really relevant to your life and what does it look like and how we engage in with people who are Muslim. But really quick though, I actually got a Facebook comment on Instagram from a Muslim friend. I think he's all the way from Kuwait. Okay, I grew up with him, and he commented on an image I put up about this series, and he basically said, yeah, sadly, it's not something that unites us. Religion divides us. And then he put an upside-down smiley face, which confused me because I'm not up to emojis. Do you know what an upside-down emoji is? I don't know what this means. What does it mean? And there were two of them. I was like, does this? Confused? Really? Are you sure, ma'am? Because, I looked at Emojipedia, which is a thing, and it could be confused, it could be cynicism, sarcasm, I don't know what it was, but I do know that this conversation is definitely one that people are emotional about, and this is probably one of these conversations that could be confusing. Some people are just cynics when it comes to religion because it just makes a mess of it. So here's what I want to do. I want to continue the conversation from last week. And so last week, I gave you a passage of scripture. Let me read this out to you. It's 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, if you've got your Bibles, good for you. If you don't have your Bibles, grab your phones, people. Grab your phones. Okay, all your mobile device. And we'll jump online. And if you're online as well, you can open up another window and look at the Bible screen. And you can do fancy computer stuff. Okay. So, 1 Peter 3:15. Let's read it out loud. Let's do that. Who wants to do that? Who's feeling froggy? Let's do that. Read it out loud? Yeah. She's up for it. That's actually Kristen right there. Hey! You're going to get in that campus. Okay. Whoa, she's excited. Okay. So, 1 Peter, let's do it let's do it together. They have it on the screens. Let's go. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the faith that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Man. Nice. Okay, so big, idea here. Peter is saying, hey guys, I spent some time with Jesus. Let me just tell you, you need to know the why. You need to know the why of the hope that you have. I know you know what you believe, the what. You know a lot of things that you believe, but you really need to know the why. And so that's why we said last week that this series is going to be not about debating different faiths. And in fact, I'm not going to make a case for any religion. This is going to, I'm going to help you engage in dialogue when it comes to different people's faith. But the big question that I believe all of humanity is really asking is that how can I connect to God? And religion is basically proof of that. That people have made institutions, ceremonies, rituals. There's a lot of things that are passed down. Some people have taken religion and made it political, and they have tried to connect to this entity, this creator out there. And so we have different forms of religion. Now, last week I mentioned that there are, like, if the four big ones, if you were to kind of dumb them down in one sense, the Christianity talks about this only God. And so if you missed this talk, you can go back and watch it. It's on YouTube. It's we have a mobile app. You can download that, watch that as well. This will give you a context. But then Buddhism, it talks about this no God. There is none God, you know. And in Hinduism, it's many gods. But in Islam, there is this idea of this one God. And so we're going to talk about this. But the big question, like I mentioned to you last week, is Jesus is asking, when he talks about religion and God, he's actually asking us this. Who are you talking about when you talk about God? Not what you believe. Who are you talking about? What kind of God? Who is this person? What is his personality? And so if you've never read the scriptures, I want you to understand something. If you ever read any story of Jesus, if you read an illustration or actually his words, you just remember, he has an agenda. He's not just doing things because it's cool to do them. He's doing this very intentionally because he's trying to illustrate who this God is. So when you and I have to pay attention to who this God is, like who is the God that Jesus is talking about, because the God Jesus is talking about is very, very different from the God of religion. And so this morning we talk about Islam. Now, what is the God of, and who is the God of religion? In Islam, you approach God in Arabic. So all the prayers are in Arabic. Regardless if you were born Arab or you speak Arabic, you have to approach him in Arabic. So they call him, anybody know what they call him? Allah, which is the word for God. Now, Google can obviously help you with a lot of facts. You can read all about it. You can read the book, all that stuff. But let me give you a couple of thoughts that you might not know. First of all, it's the Islam that you have experienced, that the U.S. has experienced, and I would say even the world, is a very politicized Islam, which means that we've seen, when you think of Islam, you think of terrorism. You think of all kinds of things that have happened. I just want you to know there are almost 2 billion Muslims in the world. Billions of Muslims do not practice that Islam. It has been hijacked politically. Muslims are not terrible people. They're people like you and me. They're just people. In fact, several years ago, I had a couple of imams, which are pastors, religious leaders, Muslim leaders, here at the Hope Center, and we were eating together. Just wanted to have a dialogue with them and wanted to host them. And so as we were talking about just concerns of what was going on in our society and in Charlotte, this one Muslim guy, you know, he started talking. He's like, you know, I live in a very different world. And he began to describe his world. He said, my wife covers up. So you've seen people who've covered up and you go, okay, she's probably a Muslim. She said, you know what's crazy about my family dynamics? Like my kids... And he was talking about like two daughters that he had. He said, my kids, my girls would rather walk with me than their mom out in the open. Because they don't want to be looked at weird. And he said, you know, I don't know what people are thinking when they think about me, because you know, they're thinking maybe I'm like in my house, like trying to make a bomb or something. And you know what he said, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm just trying to figure out how to pay for dance lessons. Like, that's what I'm trying to do. And so I just want you to understand something, that There are very gracious, loving people who follow a different religion called Islam. But I want to make the case that Islam, and like last week I said, the religion of Christianity is not really the answer to humanity. The real answer to humanity is this person named Christ who came in to reframe what we think about who God is. And so what I want to do is I want to just, I mean, you can know a lot of the facts, you know, about Islam, and but I want to tell a story about Jesus and go through an encounter Jesus had with a particular person, and in that we'll actually see how Islam works or how religion works, and how Jesus works and how this God that Jesus talks about works. So if you got your Bibles, let's grab those and let's jump right into Mark in the Gospels of Mark. So Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Okay, so this is an actual story that took place. And so Mark writes this down and he says, this is what happened. And he starts off and he says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus begging to be healed. Okay, so I want you to picture this, okay? So I want you to really picture what was going on. So Jesus is doing his thing. There are people around him. He is healing people. He's teaching. He's doing all his stuff. And this guy comes, and what does he have? He has leprosy. He comes in, kneels down, and he says this, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me what? Clean. He said, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. So, the couple of things have happened. He came down, he asked him, he said, I don't know if you're willing, I don't know if you have the time, I don't know if you like me, I'm not sure if you can, would you do this? He said a yes, and then he actually touched him, which was a big deal, and then leprosy went away, the man was healed. Verse 43, it says, then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. And this is what he says. He says, don't tell anyone about this. Don't Instagram this thing. Like, do not tell anybody about this. Don't put it on Twitter. No, don't do it. Don't make a story out of this. No. Just don't do this. He told him, don't do it. And then he said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses to those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But, verse 45, but what? The man did what? And spread the word. He put it on there. Ha 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 ha, healed. Hashtag blessed, healed. Dude, I just told you not to say it. Tell anybody. Yeah? And could you imagine what was happening right there? He's like, hey, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to tell anybody. And he's like, yes, Jesus, I won't. I will not do it. I will not do it. Oh, I'm so doing this. I mean, flat out. So what happens as a result of that? So here's what happened. As a result, right? Large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter the town anywhere. He had to stay outside in secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. So what does this story tell us about Islam? Oh, so many things. So many, 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 many things. Okay, first of all, it talks about this idea so I'm going to make 6 points, okay? Before I make my first point, let me ask you this. Isn't it true, though, that in every religion, there are always people who are special and people who are not so special? There's always. Every religion demands it. We are special. You're not so much. Every religion has chosen people and not so much chosen people. Every religion have outsiders and insiders. Every religion. Every religion demands that people are not equal. In Judaism, right? Who's chosen? Jews. In Christianity, who's chosen? Christians and sometimes Jews, depending on your political party, right? It's like, okay, in every religion, there are chosen people. So here, The first point, I think, that Jesus is trying to illustrate is that we're all equal. And what that means is that we all have leprosy. We all have leprosy. You see, we think that this guy who comes to Jesus, he's a leper, he comes to Jesus and he says, hey, if you're willing, you can heal me, you can make me clean. We think he's talking about his skin. But the word clean in there actually implies being made right with God. He's basically saying, I know I am not chosen. I know I am not blessed. I know that I don't fit the category. I know that I'm not like other people. I get it. I've been cursed by God because back in the day, everyone who had any kind of handicap was cursed by God. He says, I know I'm on the outside. I know. But if you're willing, can you make me clean? Can you make me right with God? He was not talking just about leprosy. There was a deeper thing going on. And what's deeper for us is to understand this idea is that we all have leprosy, not just of our skin, but leprosy of our soul, that there is something going on that's eating away in our soul. That is the reason why we're having this conversation. That's the reason why you're tuned in, not to find out more about religion, because you can do that looking it up online by yourself. No, you're wanting to connect with this God. Why, there's something inside of you that says, hey, I know there's something broken in me. Can I be made whole again? Can I have a right standing? Can I be, and he uses the word clean. And the first thing we have to understand in Islam, in any other religion, you and I, we are all different. In Islam, it is very clear that there is a social status. There are people who are in, there are people who are not in, there are people who are cursed, there are people who are not cursed. Islam usually basically believes this. It believes that most people will get into heaven eventually. So Christians, you're going to get to heaven anyways. But only there are two kinds of people who will not get into heaven. Number one, the Jews. They don't believe the Jews will get in. Number two, people like yours truly, the ex-Muslims. They call me the kafirs, the infidels, the ones who've turned away. There's no hope for me. There's always a, yeah, you're good, but you're not good. See, what's interesting about this story is that Jesus is saying, first of all, I need you to understand, we all have leprosy. Number two, we can all come into his presence unclean. Like, you can come in unclean. Now, why is that a big deal? It's a big deal. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been frustrated? Okay, let's be honest over here. This is kind of, this might be, weird for some of you guys, but have you ever looked in your closet or have you ever been frustrated about what to wear? Anybody? Honest people. Nice. If you're online, comment. Yes. Okay, yes. Any people over there? Yeah? Okay. Awesome. We have been, right? If I told you, hey, we're going to meet so-and-so. It was like a big deal, okay? Your hero, someone who you think is super important, okay? Let's go with Justin Timberlake, okay? Let's just do that for me, okay? We're gonna go meet him, okay? I'll tell you what, I'd be freaked out. I'd be like, what am I gonna wear? What am I gonna wear? I don't know if you can relate to me. I think some people can. But if you know you're going into the company of greatness or of special person, something fancy, you're worried about what to wear. Okay, some of you are like, what do I wear to church? What do I wear? Some of you, you freak out about it. I know it, because you come in dressed like nines. Some of you have given up. Listen. We're a mosaic, but come on. Put some pants on. Like, okay, like, this is great. Some of you guys have given up. You don't even show up. You're like, hey, I'm just going to tune in. Yeah, I'm glad we can't see you. Okay, anyway, so... What does this have to do with this conversation in Islam? Very much. Because in religion, there is this idea that even to approach the God or the gods, you have to be presentable. In Jewish culture, it's still exists. In biblical culture, it exists because you couldn't go into the presence of a king without proper attire. You couldn't even go to the presence of a king with a sad face. There was a certain thing that you had to You had to be appropriate before you go in to the presence of a king. There's so many of us that we do the same thing. As soon as you are going to start a prayer, you think of all the things you need to clean up. You just do. You're like, I'm not right, and I can't get in. Religion requires that you can't get in unless you do something. For example, in Islam, you can't approach Allah without saying the Shahada, which is the proclamation of faith, to believe that, you know, Allah is the one true God, and His Muhammad, the prophet, is the last prophet. You have to say that, and then you begin the journey. In Christianity, as a religion, it's the same thing. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to, you know, repent from your sins, and you will be saved, and then you start a conversation and a life. But in Jesus's mind, in the God who He was talking about, you can actually approach this God without declaring your faith. Did you know that? Like the disciples, when did they ever declare their faith? They died for their faith. There was no, I'm going to do something to get in first, and then we start the conversation. Here's the big thing. If you feel that you cannot approach God, it is you. It is not Him. It's not Him. He's not going, oh, can you clean up a little bit? It's not Him. Number three, He is willing. He is willing. This is such a big deal. I mean, for this guy to come in and says, you know what, I know you can, but are you willing? It is a very religious, response. It is very much a person who has lived their life trying to do and trying to be right with the God or the gods. I know you can, but am I worthy enough for you to clean me? Am I good enough? Are you willing? I'm not saying you're not able. I'm saying, are you willing to do this? Why? Because in religion, you have to earn it. In Islam, you earn grace. Let me say it again. You earn grace. Now, if you were born in Christianity, grace is king, right? It's like grace. Grace can't be earned, bro. Well, that's a Western way of looking at it. It's not the same in the rest of the world, by the way. So grace in other parts of the world is earned. The favor is earned. In Islam, it's very much earned. And so it's like when, in one sense, this guy is saying, can you count my deeds? And are you willing? Like, have I scored enough points to get a healing? Because in Islam, it's the same thing. No one knows it till the end, where Allah judges them who is actually going to make it and who is not going to make it. They just don't know. Are you willing to do this? And God, Jesus says, hey, let me talk to you about this God. So, number one, you're all equal to Him. We're all lepers. Number two, you can come into His presence unclean. You don't have to do anything. And to a Muslim mind, it's very hard, because in the Muslim mind, they have to do this washing ceremony, which is called the al-wadu, and they have to do this before they actually can pray. And Jesus says, no, you don't have to do that. And then He says, He is willing. There's a God out there who you can come as you are to Him. And if you've been struggling with, God, I know I'm not good enough to get this prayer request answered. If you've ever had that thought, you know what? I know that if I didn't have this habit, my life would be better. You know, I know that if I could just control myself, my college experience would be so much better. I know that I'm confused, and I know that I know I'm not good enough, and I know I don't deserve this, and I know, and I know, and I know, and I know. See, if you wrestle with those things, the God that Jesus is talking about is not the God who goes, you're going to have to earn my willingness. It's you don't have to earn my willingness, which is very different from the God of any other religion. Number four, He touches you to heal you. This God that Jesus talks about touches you to heal you. He comes in very close. I was doing, I think, a discussion debate with another Muslim lady on NPR. It was a station, Charlotte Talks. It was a radio station a couple of years ago, and we were having this conversation about religion and basically the host was like, "Well, just tell me why do you believe in Jesus? And you know, tell me about your story. I've heard a little bit about it, and it's kind of out there." And I was like, "It is out there." So I told the story. All right, Jesus shows up in my room here. Your life is not your own. I mean, I go into a little bit of detail, and I could just see the Muslim woman going, "This is ridiculous." And I don't know why. Every time I tell that story, especially when I'm talking to people who, you know, don't believe in Muslims, they're like, "Ah." And then she said it. She was like, "Well, see," she said, that doesn't happen. And she's like, "Here's why." He says, "Because in Islam, we believe that the natural and the supernatural exist but never connect." Did I just hear a what? Was that from online? I don't think so. It was somewhere else. We should have planned that. That was. Can you come back on the next service? Okay. So, that was hilarious. So here's why the Jesus Son of God messes up their psyche. Because for Jesus to be the Son of God, that means that there had to be some major interaction with God and a human. And so that's why in Islam they don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe that. They don't get that. And what's interesting about that is that most religions don't. They don't. You have to do certain things to get to the gods, but you never connect to them. Or, like Buddhism, you actually are a god, and you have to discover yourself, and then you become one. But this cohabitation is a very interesting concept in religion, because it doesn't really make sense, because religion requires you to be in a certain group, and you are human and natural, and then there's a supernatural, and you can never connect, as in be in, you never really get close to it. And in Islam, the reason why they don't believe that is because they don't believe that Allah should be exposed to or can stand sin. You see, the biggest thing with Muslims, you know, in Islam, the God of Allah cannot stand sin. And the problem with Jesus is Jesus talks about this God who hugs and kisses sinners. Like, he is so messy and dirty, and I don't care where you've been. So it's just mind-boggling. He did not have to touch the leper. He could have just said it. "You're kind of weird. Okay, we'll just do this." Why did he do it? Because everybody was watching. Everybody was watching. See, when he came in and he says, "I have leprosy," or "Can you heal me?" And if he took out his garment or something that was covering him up, because he had to have covered up. You see, lepers were not allowed in towns. They had leper colonies, and they would stay in those towns, but they were not allowed in the city. This guy sneaked in. He sneaked in. He was not supposed to be there. So when he shows himself, guess what everybody else does? No way. And then you have Jesus, who is touching him. And back in that day, they thought if you have physical contact, you'll get leprosy. And so what is Jesus saying? The God who I'm talking about touches you to heal you. And then, number five, he trusts you. This God actually trusts you. He tells him, "Hey, don't tell anybody about this. Do this." He doesn't do it. Have you realized there's so many people, so many stories where you have like these guys who Jesus trusts. And you wonder, like, why are you trusting him? Like Judas, if you knew Judas would betray you, why'd you do this? If you knew he would end up like this, why did you give him that blessing? If you gave him this leadership position, why would you do this? Why would you do this? What kind of God trusts us? The God that Jesus talks about. Do you know why? Because there's only one thing that will kill any relationship. It is the lack of what? Trust. The one thing that is the foundation, the very core of any healthy, deep relationship is what? Trust. You see, if you want to have a relationship, you have to have trust. If you don't want to have a relationship, if you just want to have like a partnership or a contract or something else, you can say, this is what you're supposed to do. You don't have to trust them. They just have to sign up. But Jesus is saying there's this God who wants to have a relationship, and that's why he is the first one to trust you. And he knows you are going to blow it. But he chooses to trust you. Big deal. The story says so much. And in Islam, Allah does not trust you. He does not trust you. You have to fear him. You have to obey him. But he knows that there's something wrong with you. And he knows it more than you. And there are things you have to do to fix it. But he does not trust you. You trust him. And that is no relationship. Last point. This is a big one. He takes our place. He takes our place. What does that mean? Well, did you remember the story? The story is that this guy, you know, was told not to tell anybody. He tells everybody. And what happens? Well, the scriptures, Mark tells us what happened. He says, because of this, as a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. And he had to stay outside. So this is the story. This is the picture that Jesus is trying to illustrate. The guy who was on the outside, who was not supposed to be inside, comes inside. I heal him. He's inside throwing a party, Instagramming the whole dang thing. And I take his place outside. Because of what I have done, I am now outside. This is the picture of the good news of the gospel. This is the picture of what Jesus was saying. Let me tell you who I'm talking about when I'm talking about God. The God who will come as Jesus and will take the place of humanity. That I am willing to be on the outside so you can be healed and be in the inside. That's why this passage of scripture makes so much sense. Because Peter talks about it. He says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are what? Healed. See, the story of this God who would take your place does not exist in religion of any kind. He will never take your place. You deserve punishment and you deserve what's coming to you. You earn your way. The gods are either mad, indifferent, or waiting to be impressed by you. But they will never come and take your place. And Jesus says it, but there's a God, let me just tell you about who I'm talking about. It's not the God of Islam and not the God of the religion Christianity. It's this Father who takes your place. And let me read you this one passage of scripture which which is sometimes used to make everyone else feel on the outside, but it's very much an inclusive passage. It's John 14. This is Jesus' words, which I think these words are the most misinterpreted. He says this. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you will know him and through me. And you have seen him in me. From now on, you know him through me and have seen him in me. Christianity as a religion has taken this passage and said, see, there's only one way, man. There's only one way. And you're on the outside and we're on the inside. Now, just imagine if Jesus was saying this passage. He's saying, hey, all of humanity is searching and longing, frustrated, in despair of trying to figure out what works to get right with God or the gods or the heavens or the universe. I'm making this so simple. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. You don't have to do any of these things. You don't have to listen to anybody else about what they think God is. Let me just tell you, just listen. Just listen to what I'm saying and hear me and watch what I am doing. You want to know what God is? You've seen him through me in my words. You're seeing him right now. This is how God acts towards humanity. It is very different from any other religion. That's why I'm telling you, I'm the way. This is it. I'm not making this exclusive. I'm making this inclusive. Everybody. It doesn't matter where you're born, how you're raised, what you know, what you don't know, what you struggle with, how you're wired up, this level of confusion. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you were born as a Pakistani in Kuwait. Doesn't matter. You can come in my presence, unclean. I will touch you, make you whole. I trust you. I will take your place. That is the God that Jesus was talking about. So who are you talking about when you talk about God? Who are you praying to when you pray to God? Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you, God, that as we can just sit in this, for some of us, this is a conversation that is so deep because we've been living a life full of religion. And for us, it's not Islam, but for others of us, it's just this version, our version of religion. And it might be Catholicism, it might be a certain denomination of Christianity, it might be Buddhism, it might be different ideas of what religion is. But God, I pray that as we sit and listen and respond, as we dive in deep in your word, we would know and believe that God, you are the God who we can come in. You heal us, you touch us, you trust us, you take our place. God, we love you and we worship you this morning.